Does everybody hear me out there? You awake? Have you had your coffee? Chime in if you climb in. Oh, what an interesting day. You know, it's going to be interesting when you go to sleep at 4 and have to get up at 6. Something interesting is happening. Oh my God. Yes. So what is happening today? What is going on? Well, it's the same thing that's been going on the whole time. We're all getting ready. We're all waking up. We're all finding out that everything we deep down always thought is or was is in fact true. What do I mean by that? All right, I was just talking to Sabrina. Let me start and give a little context. So I had been asked to a breakfast. I went. Wasn't sure what I was getting into. Why not? What else am I doing? So I went, and it was a DIY Chamber of Commerce. They all had business cards. You know, everyone is doing face-to-face networking, right, to drum up more business. They're all independent business owners in insurance, plumbing, hardware store, electrician. Yeah, DIY type of thing. I wasn't quite awake yet, so I got some chuckles at that. I'm not usually up at 7 o'clock meeting and greeting, much less meeting and greeting fully clothed and aware of what I'm at, where I'm at. That kind of state of mind, I'm expecting to wake up at any time and go, oh, the alarm's going off, time to get up. But no, there I was. And they went around the entire room and everybody stood up and gave their tip for the day from their business point of view, whether they were a personal trainer or a house cleaner or insurance saleswoman or salesman. And it came all the way around to me. I had the fortunate designation of being the last one to speak. So I just kept it real, kept it true. Stood up and said, hello, my name's Adrian Blumberg, and if art is a reflection of life, and there are no real answers in life, except maybe one, art then is a reflection of the question. But what is that answer? What is the one thing that we can all agree on that's absolutely true and nobody can gainsay? That truth is we're all going to die. Every single one of us. From the moment you're born, you're dying. We all agree that that's true. Then all we have to do is accept. That is the point of life. To accept your death. To accept my death. Everything around you, everything you see, is a result of not accepting death. Trying to prop up our illusions. Trying to escape our fear. So I told them where I came from and how I ended up in art. Moved here from New Mexico 5 years ago. I had no idea I was going to be here. And although I was very good at what I did in operations and logistics management, distributing and transporting chemicals, I didn't love it. It's golden handcuffs. So when I got laid off, I had to really dig deep. I'd given my all for this company. What is the best thing for me to model for my children, my 3 boys? Do I want to perpetuate the the hamster wheel that I've seen, just throw up my hands and say, ah, it's unknowable. Disagree. It's absolutely knowable. Would you ever give your children none of the tools to succeed, or would you give them every tool you could find to succeed so that if you didn't figure it out, maybe they will? But guess what? I have the tools right now. Everything I need to know to succeed is in me. And if it's in me, how could it not be in you? What would it look like if 80% of the world accepted their death and no longer had to fight their fear of it? Would we treat each other differently? Would we buy different things? Would we buy things? Would we see straight through the illusions? If you accept death, what else could you possibly fear? As I told them, the only one who's going to go through death's door is you. Nobody gets to die my death for me. I have to do it myself. Do I want to wait until I die to stand up and at that moment try and figure out whether or not I'm mature, whether I'm ready to get through that door? I've had a whole lifetime to get ready for it. How foolish of it would it be to me that the only truth in life I don't want to see, I don't want to face. You should face it now. I should face it now. And in that regard, out of the Christian tradition, absolutely right. You have to die and be born again. In accepting your death, you lose the fear of it. Now, granted, I'm not thrilled about dying in an unpleasant way. I don't want to be eaten alive by a pack of animals. I don't want to be burned at the stake. I don't want to drown. I'd rather do it in bed. But my grandfather died in bed, and he looked every bit as frightened as somebody getting eaten alive by a pack of animals, because he was afraid. He struggled. And as he struggled, we lowered his arms, calmed his unseeing eyes. They were coated in glaucoma. He was still alive. He's still with us. But the rattle of death echoed in his voice. And we told him stories about the good times. The good times we'd had together. Why did we do that? Could it be we are the stories we tell ourselves? That history is one giant story we're trying to tell ourselves so we feel comfortable with the fact that we're going to die. You know, research and studies have found that everything you experience in life is recorded in your mind, in your brain, and that you never actually lose any experience. You just forget the past path to it. How else does that explain people who have perfect memory, perfect recall, able to just sum it up verbatim, because it's always there? If that is true, and we all run together, fall together, my success in life is intimately tied to those around me. So I'm the only one going through death's door. Ultimately, for me, what defined life is how I interact with others. So that means the only thing we ever had was each other, and the stories we tell each other. We co-create, we co-manifest. Fact is, that God-shaped hole in your heart, or the Allah you bow down to, or the Siddhartha Gautama that you try and understand that this is the illusion to meditate and become one with. It's all inside. It's all learning to accept yourself. But why? Why accept yourself if you're going to die? I would say, why would you not see the only truth we all accept and know? Why live one moment longer without realizing that? You know, I came to the understanding not long ago that for every amazing genius idea I had for 1995, by now, there were seven other people who had the exact same idea, or at least close to. And I had this idea vetted in life as true, because over time, if I didn't create or manifest that great idea, it came out around anyway. Ever have a great idea? You don't move on it, and 3 or 4 years later, a version of it appears. It's going to happen whether you like it or not, because we're all part of one. And for some reason, that needs to manifest. It needs to be a part of the story. Have you ever noticed in this life, as I have, the hints throughout life that I give myself? These hints, these things that I notice subconsciously that get tied together. And what do they say? Sleep is important. Why is it important? Because when you're asleep, your subconscious processes your experiences and helps you make the connections when you're awake, quote unquote. So, if that is true, why is it? It's not that God or another divine being, because I can't say that for sure. I can say I exist. I am one. I am here. My subconscious isn't, things aren't being put in front of me. I'm noticing things that I know to be true deep down, so that my conscious mind will notice it, make the connections, and get to the understanding. And in that line of thought, have you ever noticed all of the hints we keep giving ourselves? All the stories that really resonate in a society or in a culture? That constantly come back over and over again. The hero's journey. Almost lose it all, riding on a razor's edge, and then realizing the secret, the truth, and everything is fine. The day is saved. What if in this life you are the bad guy, the good guy? The point of the story, and only a part of the story. I mean, personally, I like the idea of a collective thing. The God is a state of mind, not a destination, or a person, or a being. It's irrelevant, really. So that part I mentioned about the mind in existence, let's take it a little bit further in this question. So if everything I experience is in there, while only fun and instructive to speculate what's after death or before birth, because let's face it, let's deal with the bookends that are true, that we know for a fact, I do find comfort in the idea that if I'm a memory, a collective part of the memory of something larger than me, and I go to that point because all of existence is layers of communities that in their activity and at being themselves, right? And they like tends to go with like and create something bigger than itself in just being. That thing that we collectively are accepting and being, what if that's self-awareness? What if that's a larger group mind? Then isn't that a sort of eternal life? I don't mind being a memory, as long as I have the memory. I've said this a couple of shows earlier. Let's say death, what we can all agree on, is true. Absolutely. It's the only truth nobody can disprove. Nobody can. So let's give that, because it's death, we don't know what's beyond it, a value of zero. Truth equals zero. Okay. What else can we prove? That I am. I am here. I exist. I'm not dead, so I'm not zero. Well, what's the next thing then? One. I exist. I am. I am one. Did you know that mathematics has shown strong indication, strong likelihood that, now this is going to warp me a little bit, the distance between zero and one, like 0.01, 0.001, 0.00001, the distance between zero and one is infinite. But that distance between zero and one is a greater infinite or infinity. It's a greater number than if you start at one and count every single whole number forever. That's a smaller infinite number. I take that to mean, for our example, if truth or death is zero, because it's nothing, and existence is one, it's something, then the act of going from nothing to something is a greater distance to travel, a bigger wow, than having all of everything after you reach one. It is a greater bridge to cross to go from nothing to something than to have all of everything. Think about that. And there we are, zero and one, a binary. Either accept or you don't. Are we real? What a silly question to ask myself. But hey, there is no dumb question, right? As long as it gets me to the point. Maybe our journey isn't up and out in this space. Maybe it isn't from one on. Maybe it's in. Maybe it's from one to zero. Maybe that's our journey. And in accepting, we're open. No more statements at that point. I just had to share with you all this morning. Sorry, I didn't notice everybody was, if anybody was getting on. Hey, Sheriff. Sheriff Gumbelies McDroot. About to do some live prank calls for you. Oh, hey. If somebody wants to call in, call in. I'm always happy to talk. Ask away. The only bad question is a question not asked. But just be prepared for the answer, which usually is more questions. Hey, if there's one thing existence loves, it's one thing I love for sure, it's laughter. Love laughing. Who doesn't love games, right? Seems to be the other universal that ties us all together. We're all going to die, and we all would rather be laughing than crying. great American. Well, you are a fucking great human. it's all required. You know, one of the greatest books I've ever read, and I called it an anti-hero. I would recommend this series, and at the same time, I was scared because the first book, you get to somewhere in the 70s page range, and something happens that I almost put the book down. I was like, this is effed up. What am I reading this for? It was by Stephen R. Donaldson. It's called Thomas Covenant, the Unbeliever. And this modern-day leper, an author, discovers he has leprosy. What? In the modern era? This came out in the 70s. And his wife leaves him, takes the child. He's bereft. He's alone, but he's trying to survive. And what leprosy is interesting that it's leprosy, right? It's biblical, practically. So leprosy wasn't your limbs falling off. It was losing feeling. They didn't know they had an injury or a scratch. You would get infected, and that's how they would lose it. That's why everyone was terrified of it, because they didn't know what was going on. We know now that leprosy is losing feeling in your external body. And you cut off a finger, you don't even know it. Can't feel it. It's called Thomas Covenant, the Unbeliever. Anyway, he goes unconscious, right? I think it was a police car came around the corner and he like got hit or something. He went unconscious. He wakes up in another world, a fantasy world. He wakes up in the top of a tower, Heaven's Tower. He kind of climbs down and he like, oh, wow, he's got feeling back. He must be dreaming. This can't be real. This is nuts. You don't fall asleep in the middle of a street or get hit by a police car in the middle of the street and wake up in the top of a tower, right? It goes down and he's exploring. He's like, okay, I'm just going to try. Might as well just experience it. It's a dream. I'll wake up eventually. And he meets a girl and he feels very invigorated. You know, he's got his feelings back and he kind of loses himself in not an okay way. She was taking him back to her home and she still does. Much like today, that type of thing happened. It was horrible. He figured it was a dream. He didn't dwell too much on it. He's just dreaming, right? He was going to wake up anytime. But he doesn't wake up. And people are like, you don't think we exist? And so y'all are part of my dream. That's why they called him the unbeliever. Y'all are part of my dream. I'm going to wake up anytime. I can't believe in you. If I believe in you, when I wake up, I won't remember how to check myself and survive in life, in the real world. And the villain, his arch enemy in the series, is Lord Foulsbane, right? The despiser, trying to destroy everything. It's a series of two trilogies and then four books at the end. And it gets wordy. I had to literally have like a thesaurus and a dictionary nearby to look up some words. You know, that's where I learned what the word miasma means, you know. I'm the only one with a college degree in my family, you know, and I barely got that. So I don't know all the words, but that was a deep book. I identified with it. And when by the time it was here in 2016 that I finished the book, the last of series four. He started writing in the 70s, he finished just recently. And I bawled the whole book. I mean, cried like a baby because I've been reading this book my whole life. The series, the connections, the things that came together were just astounding. You could write a PhD thesis on this book, on this whole series, what he does, the journey he takes you on. Ah, it's deep. And what's interesting is time passes differently in that world, which is called the land. For every day or two or 3 days in real world, thousands of years pass in the land. So when he returns to the real world for the, and then goes unconscious again, when he goes back to the land, 1,000 years have passed, right? But they had stories about the time he was there before. remember that reference I made to how we give ourselves hints? Well, if I give myself hints, my subconscious has put these signals out that I will notice when I'm conscious to help make me have the connections and compute and process and put it together. Why wouldn't we do that on a collective level? Sure seems like we might be doing it on a collective level. Like I was saying earlier, the seven or eight people who have the same, almost the same idea all have. I guarantee if you have like a genius idea, there's about seven or eight other people who just had the exact same idea. It just mattered who got to it first. Well, in a capitalistic sense, yeah, it mattered. What if there was a different reason for that mechanism? Let me explain why. If you go into sciencedaily.com, do your research into this phenomenon, they were studying bacteria because of the fast life cycle of bacteria. They were looking at mutations. How do groups or colonies of bacteria mutate or evolve over time? And they were noticing, you know, these mutations in the genome would manifest and kind of fade out. Quick flare and it would fade. Quick flare and it would fade. But then enough of them would go at the same time with similar mutations that it would have sort of this critical mass and the whole colony would suddenly evolve. So it was like an engine starting on a cold morning. Vroom, vroom. And then all of them mutate and evolve. Vroom, vroom. How did it go on, guys? All right. I found that immensely interesting. Well, so what if it's as simple as that mechanism is enough people have a realization of the truth and accept death and get the question out that we all reach critical mass and we all wake up? You know, personally, I think Yahshua had part of the answer, what you would call Jesus. Muhammad, he had part of the answer. Everybody had part of the answer. All these great thinkers, it was like the little mutation. Right? It's time for the engine to start, y'all. It's time to wake up. I can't sleep anymore. I can't unknow what I know. I can't not ask what I ask. I cannot stop being me. Because I'm the only me in existence, I can't stop being perfect. I said it. Nobody does me better than me. I do me perfectly, and you do you perfectly. I'm tired of this. Personally, I'm tired of this. Nobody's perfect nonsense. You need to be like Jesus. You need to be like my... Why would I try and be like somebody else? If I'm think of myself as an algorithm, I can't be anything but me. He was his perfect self. He processed his perfect way. He's the only one who could have his perspective, but his perspective was required for processing the question, the whole question altogether. 6 degrees of separation? Maybe it's 8 people. I don't know. Speculating, asking the question. Let me put it this way. We're all looking at a diamond. If there's 10 of us looking at one diamond, we all agree that it's a diamond, right? All of us have a different perspective on it. All of us could stand exactly where the other person stood, exactly. Even down to the, like putting your eyes in the exact same position and looking at the diamond in the exact same angle. You will perceive that diamond differently. The knowledge you have gained is different. We are the sum of our experiences. Is that correct? Would you say that's true? That's what seems true to me. If we're the sum of our perspectives, if we're the sum of our experience, in a sense, each experience that I have that influences me is like another me in another perspective contributing to the now that I'm at. The Hebrews, ancient Hebrews, had a very interesting view. as they dug deep into their spiritual thought and math and everything, they got into what was called Zohar. And from there, the Kabbalah, you know, what people like today say, you look at these letters and it means something. Okay. I'm not saying they're wrong. What I'm saying is that it didn't make sense to me. But what did make sense is the ancient Hebrews, when they were trying to contemplate what a soul was, is there a soul? They said all of creation, they gave it for understanding and discussions. They called it Adam Kadmon. All of creation was Adam Kadmon. And what Adam was trying to do in existing was, in a sense, in effect, look in a mirror and perceive and understand itself in the mirror. And that once it did understand, that was the end of it. Right? So what they were saying, what they're implying, is that existence existed to ponder itself. In that light, all of us would technically be part of it, different experiences of the God trying to wake up. Trying to reach a critical mass. Trying to be. You know, and I've often talked about the AI simulated life theorem. It's my theorem, my personal theorem, the theorem of the God. That I think very clearly hints at the fact that there is no second law of thermodynamics. Entropy doesn't exist. There is just quantum level slices of experience that we travel through, and because we're not processing in the moment, we're all delayed. None of us is living in the present. We're all experiencing everything just behind the moment. That gives the illusion of time. For me, there is no past, present, or future. There just is. And my movement and focus through the is feels like time. If time is relative, that means it's not absolute. If it's not absolute, it is an illusion, a construct made to understand what is happening around us. And is any of that any stranger than any of the other beliefs and theories out there? It's just supported more by physics and math. Did we discover math, or did we invent it? Good question. That's it for this morning, folks. Thank you for joining your DIY animator. So all of these questions are going to be modeled in the Cave 2.0, updating Plato's allegory of the cave for the modern world. Taking a look and asking questions. Are you looking at shadows and thinking it's reality? Would you know truth if it smacked you in the face? Of course you would. You accept and believe that death is going to happen. You already know the truth. From there, all that really matters is how we interacted with each other, which means what? It was always all about love. In loving your neighbor, you love yourself. Literally, spiritually, fundamentally. What is love? Love isn't boastful. This is my parting thought. Love doesn't vaunt itself up. Love doesn't boast. Love doesn't need. Love is. Love is acceptance. That's the message today. Accept yourself. Love yourself. You learn to love others. Hold everything up against love. See if it weighs. It doesn't weigh out. Is it something you need? Have a good day. Art thou here? Drew Burt, art thou here? Andy M, Papa Bear. All right, y'all. Y'all take care. All right. I'll be seeing y'all in the collective memory soon. Let's wake up.